message that hopefully you'll walk away today with a little more fire, a little more love, and a little more knowledge. Amen. So if you got your Bibles with you, I want you to open up with me. We're going to go into 2 Peter today. And y'all remember Peter, don't you? Remember Peter walked on water, denied Jesus 3 times? Remember Peter sank in water? Remember that too? Remember Peter denied Jesus 3 times? Remember that? He said, oh, I'll never deny you, but he did it 3 times. Matter of fact, they said he cursed so that they would think that he belonged with everybody else. He was trying to disassociate himself so much from Jesus that he wanted to be like the world during that time. Same Peter, remember he got mad and angry, he took out a sword and cut somebody's ear off? Remember this? I can relate to Peter. I've never cut anybody's ear off, but I've messed up a lot in my life. How many of you can agree that you messed up before? You know the beautiful part about it is that Peter's story wasn't done at the end of each one of those. Peter went on after that. Matter of fact, Peter was one of the most instrumental disciples after the day of Pentecost when it came. If you remember, if you read in the book of Acts there, you see what Peter had done. And then when Peter writes a book in the Bible, like all of them, I love all the books of the Bible. They're all special. But when I can see some of me and one of them, and then they write something that tells me how to be like them that have changed, I pay attention to it. And so here in 2 Peter, today's message title would be the Path to a Fruitful Life. And when I got saved, I don't know how many of you had the same experience, but when I got saved, I was actually young when I first accepted Jesus, and then I ran from God as hard and as far as I could possibly run from him. And I carry a little, there's a picture in my office back there of me in eighth grade. And in eighth grade, I was the school pastor there in eighth grade. And then by 10th grade, I had run away, started drinking and partying, hanging out with friends, moved out of my parents' house at 16 years old, and I had started being rebellious in every possible way that I could be. And so when I decided finally to listen to my wife to come back to the little church on the hill up here, when we came here, and of course I thought that Pastor Mays was a nut. He knows this. Y'all can try to blackmail me all you want to. I've told him already. I found out something when we started coming here. And I found out that being saved was an insurance policy. I got to get my ticket to heaven, but my life was still unfruitful. It was still stressful. It was still being overridden by the devil and his antics towards me all the time. I felt defeated. How many of you have ever felt like you're doing everything right, but nothing is going right? You ever been there? Like you're trying to do it, you're trying to do it, you're trying to do it, and you're thinking, oh, I'm doing this, and so on and so forth. But just everything that I touched seemed, whether it did or not, doesn't matter. My perception was it fell apart. Everything that I put my hand to did not prosper. Matter of fact, it had the opposite effect. When I would work hard at something, it worked harder against me. Time and time again, and I never understood really why. And then I finally got a hold of it. I started listening when I started coming in on Sunday mornings. And let me tell you, music is wonderful, worship is wonderful, but the Word of God is what changes you. You can listen to music all you want to, traveling up and down the road. We're about to take a big long trip ourselves here the next couple days. I'm probably going to be in the car for, oh Lord help me, 13 hours or so driving. I'm going to be listening to the Word of God and music while I'm going, but the music is not going to change me, I'm telling you. It might affect my emotions for a moment, but the Word of God is what actually changes what's in the inside of me for a permanent change. So when I started coming here to this church and I started listening to the Word of God, I stopped chasing all the other things. I stopped worrying about who was talking to who and what had it. I didn't care anymore. I put all that away and I said, I want what's in the Word of God for me. Pastor said to me one time, he said, how much God do you want? Do you want a little bit of him or do you want all of him? And I decided in that moment, I want all of God. If he's got it for me, I want it. And what started happening here is I started finding a way to have a fruitful life. So I was a tree that was planted by the still waters. I was growing, but I was not producing fruit. What good is a tree that grows but doesn't produce fruit? fruit is a fruit for you. Does a fruit tree eat its own fruit? You ever seen? No. I've never seen a peach tree pick its own peach and start eating it. Never. Have y'all seen that? If you knew, y'all need to tell me where that's at. I don't know. That blew my mind. I've never seen an apple tree pick its own apple and eat it. But what happens to the fruit that's produced on a tree? Other people come, see the fruit, pick the fruit, and then they are nourished by the fruit. Do you understand that a fruitful life is not just for you? It's for all those that you come in contact with? We need to spiritually feed those people that are around us. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not producing fruit, you're not doing God's will. Everybody wants to know what God's will is for my life. What do I need to do? What's my calling? I'm telling you, your calling, first and foremost, is produce the fruit that God wants you to produce. We have a problem in theology today. Y'all, some of y'all write me letters. I don't care. Don't do letters. Pastor's got a whole thing. I got emails. That's what I got. And then I print them out where I get messages on Facebook. There's some really big people behind a keyboard. I'm going to tell you that. They'll type all kind of stuff up. I tell them all the time, come talk to me face to face. I'm good with that. Not one of them has ever showed up to my office to talk to me. Not one. But I can't believe you said this, or I can't believe y'all teach this and everything else. Here's what I want you to know. I'm just teaching the Word of God. So if you got a problem with it, don't take it up with me. Take it up with God Almighty. Open up the Bible. Start studying it. First off, you shouldn't believe anything I say anyway. You ought to take it and put it to Scripture is what you ought to do. If you are a sound Christian, that's what you need to do. Because there are people in the world today that are misled by false prophets. You know why? Because they take them at face value and they say whatever they say. They're on the internet. They got a TikTok show. They got all the. They got 7,000 likes and 20,000 shares. It must be true. The problem is there ain't an ounce of truth in it. It's all wrapped up, trying to look all nice. I'm gonna tell you right now, the Word of God cuts like a two-edged sword. Sometimes you need to be pricked in the heart for you to bleed out some of the stuff that's in there that don't need to be in there. And what we've gone to sometimes in our charismatic faith believing, because I am a Holy Ghost, tongue talking, devil stomping preacher. Make no doubts about it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. That is not where it stops. It's where it starts. I don't say I had the baptism in the Holy Ghost and now I'm done, I'm free to go, everything's right. And we somehow have twisted this around for people to believe that if you'll just get filled one time with the Holy Ghost, everything is good, you got all you need, everything's going to be wonderful. And then somehow we end up seeing the seats empty because people say it didn't work. I'm going to tell you why. The Holy Ghost did its part, you didn't do your part. The Holy Ghost infilled you. You've got power, but you didn't act upon the power. You didn't do what you needed to do, your part in the equation. So today, what I want to share with you out of this is where Peter, the man who denied Jesus three times, Peter, the man who walked on water that took his eyes off Jesus, Peter, the man who had a temper that couldn't control himself, now tells us how to be fruitful Christians. So if he could change, we could change. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I used to be that guy, angry at the world, so mad. My wife just gets so mad at me when we drive. Man, I tell you, I chase people down, cut me off. Man, I'm telling you, am I telling the truth, honey? She's talking now, but am I telling the truth? You get scared once or twice? You know, I ain't that guy no more. Now, don't get me wrong, when they come up and they cut me off, that foot gets a little heavy just for a second there as I almost hit that gas pedal, and then I'll back it on off and say, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. And my wife will elbow me. That helps me too. So praise God for a good wife that God sent. But let's look at this. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 4 through 8 with me. How many of you with me? Say amen. Amen. Y'all awake?
Amen.
All right. So by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this reason, for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Peter is writing here to believers. If you notice that, that's the first thing that he says. He's talking to people who are saved, who've already received the promises of God. If you are saved, you've got your insurance policy, but there are also promises that have already been given to you in the Bible. How many of you know that? But do you know that a gift is not yours until you open it and accept it? So Peter is telling these believers, listen, do you understand? Jesus is not going to die for you a second time. He's already died once. He's done. It is finished, is what he said. It's done. All the promises have already been given to everything. God has done everything that God is going to do for us right now. Do you understand that? He's given us everything that we need. That's why he said that. He said that for those of us that have been given the exceedingly great and precious promises, we've already got them. So Peter is talking to us, and he's saying, now listen, just because you got saved doesn't mean that everything is now good. There's more to come with this. And so he says, yes, you've got all these promises. Number one, start unwrapping your gifts. Start using the gifts that God has been giving you. But number two is that it's not just a one-time event. See, being spirit-filled and in our life is being a spirit-filled life is not a stagnant or stale life. If you think that you get filled with the Holy Ghost and then are just kind of, and you is stale, you're not living a spirit-filled life anymore. You're not. You're living a dried up, unfruitful life. And most of the times when I see that, I see discontent in people when they do that. Because they know, they remember the first time that they got filled with the Holy Ghost. They remember that fire that they had. They remember that power that they had. They remember all those things. And I was there myself. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost and I went and drove. Can I tell some stories? Is that okay? Am I getting too loud for y'all? Louder? I love you, Jacob. I remember driving to Myrtle Beach. My grandmother was dying, and I had to go make sure that she knew Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. I had to. I was working for a company, and I said, I got to go. I jumped in my car. My wife was so gracious, said, do whatever you got to do. Go. I said, okay. I'm driving down there. As I'm driving down to Myrtle Beach, God is just moving all the way down. I go to a McDonald's drive-thru. Y'all don't think I eat McDonald's, do you? I know. I was going through all y'all got to repent that laughed in here now. I was driving through a McDonald's drive-thru, and I'm praying in tongues as I'm getting up to the window thing. Yeah, where you place your order thing, right? Man, does this happen? Pastor used to, is this what happens? I'm starting to lose my memory here. I'm pulling up to the window thingy, and I'm about to give my order, and I'm praying in tongues. I get up there, and I don't remember. It probably was a small itty-bitty cheeseburger. And like one fry. See, y'all repent again, twice now. So I ordered my food. Let's skip on. So I ordered my food. I get up to the window, and the woman hands me, I'll never forget it, man, this big, nice black woman was back there. She handed me my food, and she just said, oh, child, God loves you. I said, what? Said, God loves you. Well, God loves you. I've been, and I'm pulling away from McDonald's. I'm thinking, man, that's never happened to me. Nobody's ever just said something to me like that. Then I get stuck in the traffic jam. I'm stuck in traffic jam. We're sitting there. People are getting out the car. The guy comes up to me where I'm sitting in my car. He starts talking about Jesus. I'm going, man, I love God. He and I are sitting there. Before we know it, the hours pass and we're stuck in traffic. I don't even mind. I know honking of horns. We're praising God together. Then I get down there. I'm driving. I go to see my grandmother. I get to the hospital. I'm out front, and my Aunt Rena is there. My Aunt Rena is an old missionary Baptist woman. Okay, got saved in a Baptist church. Loved the Baptists. Please don't think any differently. Loved the Presbyterians, right? But they don't believe like we believe exactly, right? They don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They believe you have the Holy Spirit, but that there's no additional power with this, right? So here's my aunt with me out on the front lawn. And I had this little Bible. It was a CSB Bible that I had. And it was a cheap little $4 Bible. I had gone through this Bible and I had highlighted every scripture that had to do with the Holy Ghost. Every scripture in it. And I just took it with me wherever I went. And so I'm there and I'm out on the front lawn with her, about to go up and see my grandmother. And I'm talking to her and I'm telling her about what God has done in my life. And she's like, is this the same Michael who stole? Is this the same Michael who got arrested? Is this the same Michael that I had to come bail out? Is this the same Michael that betrayed us as family? Is this the same Michael? No, it wasn't the same Michael, praise God. It was a different Michael. And I'm sitting here talking to her, and I'm showing her these scriptures, and we're going through John and Acts and Luke, and I'm pointing all this stuff out to her, and then she's standing right there, and she starts to do this little number. She gets a little wobbly. And I'm sitting there with her. I thought, woman, you done popped a Xanax on me. I can't believe I'm sitting here talking about the goodness of God, and you getting high, taking some kind of Xanax. And she's sitting there, and she's wobbling and everything with me. And she starts to fall. I start carrying her. I'm taking her. You need to go inside. Come on. And I'm helping her. Like, she's drunk. I really, truly thought she was medicated. I get her in. We go into the hospital. We go up the elevators. We get in the hospital room. Sit her down. And I'm actually aggravated. I'm thinking, I can't believe I spent all this time. Now here she is popping his Xanax. Fast forward. I talk to my grandmother. First question, Grandma, do you know Jesus Christ? Oh, I know him. I love him. He's my best friend. Now, my grandmother was mean. She said, I know Jesus and I love Jesus. She was dying of cancer at that time. And I said, I'm gonna rebuke cancer and I'm gonna pray with you. And so I grabbed her hands and I prayed this simple little prayer. How many of you know your prayers don't have to be long-winded and fancy? I didn't know much to be long-winded and fancy. Believe it or not, I didn't talk as much then as I talk now. So I grabbed her hand and I'm praying for her, and I'm telling you, it was felt like she lifted up off the bed. And then she came back down. And so after that, I look over, and my Aunt Rena, who was as sober as a kite. And I thought, my goodness. So I leave. I come on back. I'll tell you the rest of that story later, how God parted the weather when we drove down. But I drove back. She calls me about 2 days later. And finally, I just had enough gumption. I asked her. I said, now, when we were standing out on that lawn out there, Rena, I said, it looked like you took a Xanax or something. Did you pop something out there? She said, my goodness, no. I said, do you realize you were stumbling around? She said, I felt different. I just felt at peace. She said, I didn't feel like I was drunk or anything. I just felt at peace. I said, do you believe that you were infilled with the Holy Spirit? She said, well, it was just so funny because I happened to be praying that night. And as I'm praying, all of a sudden I start praying in tongues, Michael, the first time ever. Now, I'm telling you something. Right then and there, she found out there was more to it. What I want you to know something is that an insurance policy is not just enough. You got to have the Holy Spirit, but here's the kicker. Once you got the power of the Holy Spirit, what are you going to do with it? It's not just about going and talking to the weather. It's not just about talking to mountains. See, the Holy Spirit was given to us in power to be witnesses unto him to the ends of the earth. Now, you can't be a witness if you're not producing any fruit, because what are you showing? How many of you want to have a fruitful life? I'm going to tell you how. Actually, I'm not going to tell you how. Peter's going to tell you how. It all starts with our faith. That's number one. Faith is our foundation. See, when it talked about this, when Peter said all this, and he was talking about it's a lifestyle transformation of being baptized by the Holy Spirit, the very first step is you got to be saved. If you're not saved, you won't produce good fruit. No matter how hard you work at it, it will always be bad fruit because you're not a good tree. I'm sorry. That's just the truth of it. You're going to produce things of the flesh and not of the Spirit. And if you produce things of the flesh, it will always produce something bad. It may look good, but it won't be. Remember that Disney movie where the old witch had the apple, right? And it looked so good. And then was it Sleeping Beauty that took a bite of the apple? Snow White. Thank you. Snow White took a bite of the apple and it fell asleep. Just because it looked good doesn't mean it was good. The devil likes to make things look good that ain't good. All right, so number one, faith is the foundation. That means that it is the first step. It's not the whole staircase. See, this is where I got it wrong. I thought that once I got saved, I'm already there. No. Just like these steps right here are, when I got saved, I took the first step towards my victory in life. Now, from this level, I am separated. From this level, I am saved. I am going to heaven. There are thousands, probably millions of people out there who are at this level that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but then they want to stay right here on this level. Peter's telling you that's not the way it should be. Peter is saying that once you take the first step, there's more to take. You haven't made it to the top. You've just taken your first step. See, faith in Christ brings us salvation, but we're called to build on that salvation. We're not called just to stand there. We're supposed to keep building up from that. See, just like Pentecost. Pentecost wasn't the end. When they had the day of Pentecost and all those people were filled, it was just the beginning of a Spirit-filled journey for Peter and for the disciples. If that was it, the book would have ended. It had been closed. Acts would have been the final resting point. There would have been no more. But Paul and all these disciples, they write about what we should do after the fact. You're supposed to keep going. Don't remain at the starting line. Listen to me, young people. I wish I knew then what I knew now. And I don't mean just because of money and material things. I'm telling you, I wasted years living a life with no peace, no joy, no love, no contentment. I was miserable because I didn't understand what I could really operate in. Do not let just your salvation ticket be your starting or your finish line. Let it be your starting line. And from here, you run your race. Number two, you need to partner with the Holy Spirit. See, you can't do it on your own. But that doesn't mean you don't do your part. It's about living a Spirit-enabled life. How many of you have been tried to be good but have failed? All of us. All of us do. All of us do. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tells us what the fruit is. Put that up there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. When I look at my life, I look at it in the mirror of the Word. I want to see if what I'm living reflects what this Bible is teaching. If I'm not, something is off. And I guarantee you it's not the Word of God. It doesn't make mistakes. But I do. So when I look at these things and I say, all right, so these are the fruits of the Spirit, then I have to partner with the Holy Ghost because the Holy Spirit is what produces these things inside of me that I cannot produce on my own. It's a partnership between the two of you. Giving all diligence right there in verse 5 when it said that, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence means that we partner with him, we supply the will, and he supplies the power. You got to have a will to do right. You got to have a will to want to do the right things to have a fruitful life. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He's never going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do. So here's my question to you. Are we not living right because we just can't help ourselves? Or are we not living right because we really don't have the will to want to live right? If you can't turn off pornography, if you keep buying Cinemax because you're watching something you shouldn't be watching, you can't cancel that subscription, you don't have the will to do it right. Boy, that got a holy hush. The number one thing that breaks up marriages is finance. You know what the number two thing is? Pornography. And it ain't just men and women. And in today's world, I'm getting on a side tangent here, but I'm telling you, the devil wants your eyes focused on anything but Jesus. In today's technology, I saw somebody put on Facebook, they said, if your child has a phone, the world has access to your child. Man, that hit home with me. In the palm of our hand, we have access to every evil thing that there is out there. And here's what's crazy about it. You don't have to go to it. It comes to you. You go somewhere and ads start flipping up that stuff that I don't want my eyes to see. I don't want it in me. If it's in me, it could come out of me. So I just don't even want it in me. I want to guard my heart. I'm telling you right now, men and women, you need to separate yourself as far as you can from that lust of the flesh. Because what's going to happen is you're going to seek those things and you're going to find those things. And then what God has really got for you, a virtuous wife, a Psalms 1 man is out there that you're going to miss because you're looking at the wrong thing at the wrong time. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll trust in God with that, if you'll put that, and here's what you got to say: well, I got a problem with it, Lord. Well, that's good. You confess that to him, right? God, I got a problem with this. Maybe it's anger. I got a problem with this, God. And here's what you do. I'm going to do my part, and you do your part. My will is to live better, Lord. I don't want to be this way. Holy Ghost, give me the power to then change it. And it happens. Slowly. Sometimes it's instantly. That does happen. Praise God when it does. But there's other times you got to fight the good fight of faith. You got to keep working towards it. You got to partner with him. See, all these things, the virtue, the knowledge, the self-control, they're all spirit-grown and spirit-sustained. I'm telling you right now, there have been things. How many of you have ever licked something that you wanted to get past, and then it come right back up, and you give back into it? That ever happened? Don't raise your hands, right? But that's happened to me. I quit smoking. You know how many times I quit smoking? 17, 18, 25, I don't know. It was more times than I could count. I would quit smoking. Now, I'm not saying please don't write me letters about smoking. I'm not condemning you for smoking cigarettes, man. I'm not, no. I'm telling you about something. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. That's the reason why I talk about it. It had such control over me is that it planned my whole, our trips when we drove, because we didn't smoke in the car. We didn't smoke around our children. So our trips were planned around when we get to take a smoke break. 10 hours. Okay, divide that up. I got to smoke every 45 minutes. We're going to stop here and here. We're going to have a cigarette here and here. Let's go ahead and get something to eat while we're at it. And then I'd forget to get gas so I could get an extra cigarette in. And I'm just telling you, so I've been there. That's the reason why I used it. It's not because I'm condemning you. It's because I know the struggle is real. But I quit. And then I start again. And then I quit. And I'd say, I got to start again. And then I quit. And then I got to start again. And it went like this on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And then finally, we quit together. My wife and I. I've never heard the audible voice of God. And she might get mad at me, but my wife has. Sorry, honey. I wish I heard the audible voice of God. I want to so badly. I would love that. I never have experienced that, but I didn't need it. My wife did. You know what God told my wife? Said, if y'all would quit smoking, you could tithe. Woo! Then my wife come to me. My comparable helpmate came to me. Said, this is what God said. Oh, mercy. Well, if God said it, I guess we're going to have to do it. And you know what happened in that moment? We said, all right, now, we got the will, but we ain't got the power. Because I've tried over and over and over in myself. So we said, all right, Lord, now we're going to quit, but you got to help us. You got to give us the power not to. Now, that's been a long time and thousands of dollars being saved, hallelujah, that we don't spend on it no more. And you know what now? I could be around somebody who smokes. It doesn't bother me one bit. I don't have the slightest inclination. I don't want to grab that cigarette. I don't want to take a puff off of it. I can sit there and carry on a conversation with you. Doesn't bother me one iota. You know why? Because the freedom is not found in me. It's sustained through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason why I can be set free from it. George, are you addicted to drugs anymore? Do you have the slightest desire to do any kind of illegal or narcotic whatsoever? How about drink alcohol, man? You a big drinker now? Yeah. You got a little taste in your mouth. You want to go hit the bar after we leave? Not one bit, right? You know why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is sustaining his freedom. How about you, Jacob? You want to go get a cold Bud Light when we leave out of here? Maybe roll a big fatty, you and me together, and smoke? No? You want to ride your Harley? Life better now than what it was? You ought to see this man's picture of his mugshot. You wouldn't believe it's the same guy. It's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. You got to partner up with the Holy Spirit, because not only will he help change you, he'll help keep you that way. But only through him will you be able to do it. Only through him. And so what happens is we think, oh, we got it licked. Oh, I stopped smoking. It's been 3 weeks now. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to come to CR. I don't need to talk to God about this. I don't need to ask the Holy Spirit to help me through that. I got this thing licked. When you think you got it licked, it's coming knocking at your door. And you know what? You don't have the power not to open it. That's why you're supposed to have the Holy Spirit inside of you, that you're yielding to him, and he'll stand between you and temptation. And the Holy Spirit will say, hold up, I got the power to make sure that you don't give in to this. Stand firm, brother. But if you're not there, If you don't want to hook up with him, you know what's going to happen? You're going to creep that door, and all you got to do is open it up that much. Depression will move in. Anxiety will move in. Worry. Lust. Pornography. Whatever it may be, drugs, alcohol, whatever it be, will come in. You got to partner with the Holy Spirit. And then it's a lifetime partnership, not just a one-time event. This is why I've seen in our church, y'all ready to go? Am I preaching too long? Get myself worked up here. Let me tell you something. I said a long time ago, I will never practice what I preach. I'll always preach what I practice. I won't tell you something that I've never experienced. I might tell you what the Bible says in it, but I'm telling you that I want you to know how you get through something, because I've been there and I've done that. And do you understand that I still deal with temptations today just the same as everybody else does? But I have learned that the way to victory is not in and of myself, that is always through the Holy Spirit that enables me to be able to resist every temptation that the devil throws my way. I think about Jesus in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, fasting and praying. What was the first thing after all that the devil said to him when he came? What did he try to tempt him with? Food. Food. The very thing that he was probably most vulnerable to at that moment. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. The devil came to him at his weakest point with his strongest desire. What do you think the devil's going to do to you? The devil knows your weakness. Don't think he don't. He listens to you, the words that you speak, the life that you live. And he'll come to you and he'll try to lure you back into giving in to him. Say with me, I am strong. Not because of me, because of the power that's in me. Now, are you ready to make a declaration? Say, I want you to, I'll partner with the Holy Spirit. You need to. Point number three. Here's what I want you to understand. There's 8 steps to fruitfulness. I've got on the back table back there, I've got these listed out for you guys. If you want to take a copy of it with you when you leave today, I encourage you to do so. But in these verses, it tells us 8 things. Number 1, faith. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. These are the breakdowns of the fruit it gives us. Number 2, virtue. Moral excellence, a desire to live righteously. Number 3, knowledge. Growing in spiritual wisdom, revelation, and biblical understanding. Self-control. Number 4, self-control. Mastery over passions and impulses, resisting temptations. Number 5, perseverance. Endurance through trials without giving up. Number 6, godliness. A reverent and holy life shaped by the fear, the love of God. Brotherly kindness, genuine love and affection for fellow believers. And lastly, love, agape love, which is unselfish, sacrificial love for all people. Now, if you look at these things just as they're laid out, remember how I was talking about steps? These are foundations that are built. Each one built upon the one prior. It's a process to go through these. Please do not think that you could somehow skip around on all these steps. And now here's the reason why I tell you why. You have to grow these. As a matter of fact, what it is, you actually have to surrender to these in order to grow into these. You got to surrender yourself to them. Say, without faith in Jesus Christ, there is no first step. You never get up. After the first step, you got to want to live righteously. The virtue piece. You got to say, I want to be different than how I was before. Number 3, knowledge. Growing in spiritual wisdom, revelation, and biblical understanding. You got to learn how to live differently when that's your desire to do. So that's why it comes after virtue. Then after knowledge is self-control. Now that you know what to do, you got to be a master over not doing it. You got to learn that you don't give into this. Learn how to resist the devil. Learn how to have control over your impulses. Then the last one is perseverance, because you know what happens? Sometimes I put you in positions in life where things are tough on you. People turn on you. They're not there for you anymore because you're not going with the crowd anymore. You're following what God has. You got to be perseverant. Then that will bring you to a reverent love of godliness. You got to love God, fear God. Not fear like he's going to strike you dead, but fear God as in like he's your almighty creator. Once you have that godliness and you start loving God, guess what? Then it's easy for you to love your brother and sister in Christ. When you love God like that, it's easy for me to love you no matter what your imperfections are. I can love you just because we're of the same family in Jesus Christ, you and me. And then lastly is the agape love. That's where you love everybody, no matter what. But I'm going to tell you right now, so you can't skip over that. You can't say, well, I got faith and I want to live right, but I've got agape love for everybody. That's not true, especially when you can't even love your own brother and sister in Christ. How are you supposed to do that? What was that Bible verse that said, how are you supposed to love your Father in heaven, which you've not seen, if you can't even love your own brother, which you do see? It's a process for this. And this is the steps that you take, each one building on the other one. You can't skip the steps with them. The Holy Spirit just doesn't empower us. He matures us in our character. The end of that then, the final step with all that is the results. And the results are simple. It's a fruitful life in Christ. Verse 8 tells us, it says, for if these things are yours and abound, that means it's not just enough just for you to have them in theory. It says, if they're yours and they abound, which means they got to be overflowing. They got to be coming out of you. You can't just have them in theory and have them in your mind. You got to have them in practice and put into your life. But verse 8 tells us that. It says, if these things are yours and abound, and all those things, then it will be active and growing in your life. See, right below that, it said, for these things are yours, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. You know what barren is? Barren is dried up. How many of you have ever met a Christian who's dried up? How many of you don't want to be a Christian that's dried up? I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be unfruitful. Unfruitful would be lacking spiritual results. I want God's hand in my life to be evident for others to see. I want people to see that. And as I'm going through there, I want other people to not only see the fruits, but then partake of the fruits with me, and wouldn't want their own tree to produce those fruits. When we start maturing our character like that, when we start growing, our spirit-filled life then becomes a fruitful life. It's not just loud. It's not just emotions. I love them. The baby's crying. I'm going to tell you, I love them. We got 13 children in this church under the age of 4. I've always said they could be here as much as they want to be here. I remember a time when there was no cries in our church. And I'm going to tell you right now, for every baby that's crying in here, there's a mother and father that needs to hear the word. There's a mother and father that needs to grow in Christ, because you're going to want to teach your children what I'm teaching you today. If you want your children to be better off than you are. Everybody stand with me this morning. We're going to close out. See, it's not just a life of just works. It's a life partnership with the Holy Spirit. We believe in tongues here. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the fire of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know that that's just not enough. If you're going to live off emotions and feelings, you're going to be disappointed your entire life. And don't get me wrong, I feel good when God is moving, and I've seen people, man, we've seen God move in this church and touch people and set them free. But I'm going to tell you something, if that's the end of it, your emotions are going to wear off. That feeling of that old giddy feeling is not going to last forever. Are you growing in the Word of God to be able to sustain it to where you're not walking by feeling, you're walking by faith? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I always ask the same question. I'll never close out a service without asking it. because it is the very first step. It's the fundamental. It's the basic, the basis of all Christian life. And it starts with that first step of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If there's anybody here who's never made that decision but wants to do so, today is the day for you to do it. Just right where you're at, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior today. I want my life to be changed forevermore. I want you to remain head bowed because I believe there's other people in here who have backslidden.